Well, today we're on the University of Nebraska-Lincoln's Innovation Campus, where Rob Fraley, Chief Technology Officer for Monsanto, will be speaking, making a presentation here in a bit as part of the Hiraman Lecture Series here at UNL. And Rob, we appreciate the opportunity to visit with you here ahead of time. And let's talk about your presentation today, entitled, I know I saw it here somewhere, 2050, Meeting the Challenges of a Growing World Population. Paraphrasing there. So talk about the presentation and kind of boil it down for us.
Sure. Well, first of all, it's great to be back on campus. Last time I was here, the Innovation Center was still in its on the drawing boards, and it's terrific to be able to spend the time and walk through and see the new buildings and the new construction and what it's really going to mean for the university in order to be able to bring such a group of talented scientists together. It's really exciting to see the progress. So today I'm gonna really try to cover innovation in agriculture and food production from a couple of perspectives. And I always like to make the point that this isn't something we can take for granted. I mean, the world population increases, the demand for food continues to grow. By 2050, a lot of experts believe we'll need to be able to double the food supply, which is enormous. I mean, it means we all have to produce, more food over the next 30 years than we have in the entire history of the world. And we know we're going to have to deal with, changing, weather patterns and climate, and it's a huge challenge. But I'm not a pessimist at all. I believe we have an incredible, level of new innovation coming into ag. The advances in breeding and biology in general, the advances in data science and information technology are just creating a wonderful set of new tools that are going to allow farmers to, grow more and produce more with less inputs. And that's absolutely convinced that we can achieve that if we put our minds to it, and if we really, share the common ground on how these tools can be used effectively. And for me, that's really one of the real challenges that remains for agriculture is as we become more efficient, there's fewer folks involved in farming and food production, and we have as a result an even greater responsibility to communicate to the folks who haven't been on a farm or who don't really understand the incredible transformation that agriculture and the food chain is going through. And so I think a really important part of what we all need to do is reach out and talk to the public and consumers. And one of the things I'm looking forward so much in today's lecture is it will bring together faculty and students and customers and growers, but also the general public. And it's great to have a series like this where we can get into an in-depth discussion of the future of agriculture and food innovation.
We've been talking about this doubling of the food production for quite some time. And are we making progress? Is it happening fast enough?
I think it is happening. And one measure of that is if you actually look at how much farmland around the world is being used for food production, it's been pretty flat for the last several years. And the reason for that is that the gains in productivity have offset the pressure on acres to a certain extent. And for me, the opportunity to do even more. I mean, I believe that as we look between now and 2050, that we'll have the opportunity in this country to double, corn and soybean yields. I think in countries outside of the U.S. where, the yields are less today, we'll probably have the opportunity to see a tripling or quadrupling in yields. And that's what it's going to take to feed the world. And we're going to need to see increases in productivity in all the major production areas. The U.S. and North and South America will continue to be, large providers of the, the breadbaskets to the rest of the world. But we'll need to see the productivity in Asia, the productivity in Africa, reach, new levels in order to achieve the kind of food security that, that we would want to leave as the legacy to our kids and our grandkids.
The introduction of herbicide-resistant, insect-resistant crops 20, 25 years ago. I mean, that revolutionized agriculture, and you were a major contributor to that, obviously. Are we going to see anything here coming down the pipeline that may once again revolutionize agriculture?
Yeah, I'm going to talk a lot about that. And one of the reasons that I'm, I mentioned I am not a pessimist at all in terms of, the ability of the world to provide food security for itself. I mean, we have such innovation. So, the world of plant breeding has changed remarkably in just the last, 5 or 10 years with the availability of literally the ability to understand every single gene in a corn or a soybean plant and use that information to breed more specifically and produce, higher yields. The biotech traits, we're getting ready to launch now our third or fourth generation of bug and weed control traits. We've launched, technology for drought protection and for quality enhancements in soybean oil composition. So there's lots of innovation coming on the biotech front. And then you move into, some of the new spaces like the precision agriculture space and literally the ability to map every field and at a subfield level understand, how we should vary the planting density or the nutrition or the pest or disease control tools. That's going to be a really exciting opportunity for both driving productivity and being more precise in our inputs. A couple of the other technologies that we're working on that I'm really excited about is almost all of the focus on crop improvement has been on improving the genetics of the seed. But these same tools that we've been using to study genes can now be applied to soil health and understanding all the different microorganisms in the soil and trying to figure out and determine which microbes can actually enhance yield or help protect plants from pests. And that whole area of understanding the relationship between the microbes and the crop is going to explode, I think, in terms of a new generation of seed treatments and products that can enhance growth and yield. And then one of the really exciting areas, there's a number of new technologies that are coming that let us, have the benefits of biotechnology without, some of the challenges in terms of the long development costs or some of the acceptance issues. So, we're working on a technology which we call BioDirect, where we can use a small nucleic acid and produce it and spray it on a plant or a pest and use that in a very gene-specific fashion to exert a benefit on the crop or to use it as a way of producing a biological pesticide. So, there are lots of innovations coming, and that's one of the reasons I'm so optimistic that we have the tools to achieve food security for the planet. I think our challenge is being able to effectively communicate how these tools can help provide food security, how they can help us, protect the environment, and how they can be used to enhance agriculture and food production. And, what's interesting to me is, you mentioned that, the GMO products have now been in the marketplace for over 20 years. If you would have told me back then that, the technology would have been as successful as it has been. I mean, here in the U.S., probably 95% of our corn and soybean acres use GMO technology. And, these crops are now planted, in almost 30 countries around the world. I would have never believed it. On the other hand, I wouldn't have, thought, we would still be dealing with some of the misperceptions and some of the myths and some of the, the concerns that still exist around, using a natural process like genes to improve our crops. And so I know we have more work to do on the communication front. And, that's one of the things that I think all of us involved in agriculture and food production need to accept as part of our responsibility.
I know you've been working quite a bit in that area over the last, 2 years? You mentioned you're doing a lot of traveling and speaking about that. And other ag groups obviously are working on that pretty hard, too. Are we moving the needle on that? Are we making a difference?
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me personally, you know, when I had the, you know, the privilege and honor of receiving the World Food Prize, you know, for me, you know, it really catalyzed a, you know, a deeper, you know, involvement and commitment in terms of communicating, you know, the importance of innovation in ag and the food chain. Because I had the privilege of traveling and visiting with, you know, with regulators and government officials in countries around the world where food security is an imminent challenge. And so it's something I'm really passionate about, and I've really devoted a lot of time over the last couple of years to reaching out to the non-traditional audience. I mean, you know, typically when I've come to Nebraska in the past, it's been to meet with growers, and I still do a lot of that. But you know, now I'm meeting with consumer groups and folks involved in the nutrition and health industries to explain the importance of innovation in agriculture. You know, I don't know many people who walk into their doctor's office and say, "I'd like, you know, the same medicine my grandparents had in the 1950s. You know, we all want the latest tools, you know, treatments and medicines. And I think it's important to reflect that, you know, the importance of agriculture and food security also warrants that we have, you know, the latest innovations, and we're doing it with the best techniques we can, not only to ensure that we have adequate food supplies, but it's the safest and most nutritious food that we can put on the table, and that we can produce it in a way that minimizes, you know, agriculture's impact on the environment. So I see a huge interest from people in terms of how our food is produced, and I think it's really, you know, my responsibility, my company's responsibility, and everybody involved in that food chain to really really reach out and communicate. You know, when I was growing up, I grew up on a family farm in Illinois. My dad farmed, my grandfather farmed. You know, back when my grandfather was farming, you know, probably half of the people who lived in the state of Illinois were on the farm. Today it's less than 1%. And so reflecting that, I think all of us have that responsibility to reach out to the 99% and talk about, you know, the passion that we all share for food security, for agriculture, for the environment, and for the land. And in many cases, it's that personal connectivity that matters the most. So, you know, I would say that I am optimistic in terms of what I've seen recently, and you know, I benchmark that by you know, the reaction I see to the social media debates and the discussions that go on in the chat rooms, you know, the articles that you now see published, which are really thoughtful articles, and you know, articles coming out in the New York Times or you know, in Grist or any of the other channels that really are you know, really important deep discussions on food security, which I think are really important. And, you know, the food industry is clearly involved in the dialogue and recognizes the importance. So, yeah, I know we have a lot of work to do, but I think we're making progress. And it's really important that we do because, you know, I don't think there's anything more important than, you know, leaving our kids and our grandkids a legacy to be on a path for a food secure world.